I'm Miriam Neff with Widow Connection New Beginnings and this program Starting Over Financially. I've been a counselor for 26 years, have written some books, and done a little bit of living.
I'm Valerie Neff Hogan. I'm an attorney and a certified financial planner, and I've counseled with couples and singles regarding budget and benevolence issues over the past 20 years in churches.
Valerie, one reason I think we're a pair to talk about this kind of thing is I also know you and your husband, Mark Hogan, have done financial counseling together, and you've raised three children. Three are in college now. And just as I've gone through parenting and now am single, we've learned some things, and we also know that some of you are going through things where you're not ready to step into a class yet, but you do need to get a hold of your finances.
So we're talking today about starting over financially. Maybe you've been through becoming a widow. Maybe you've been through a divorce recently. A spouse is incarcerated. You found yourself in some unexpected, very difficult situation. And now we're kind of come alongside you and help you basically not add finance as an additional problem to whatever you're going through. Because we have found, as you and I have both been working with people, that when they hit these difficult circumstances, sometimes the financial handling or lack thereof can cause additional pain. So we're here to try to help that not happen.
First of all, we want you to have a really firm foundation for addressing this. You may feel nothing's firm in your life. It's all flying all over the place. Yeah, that's how you feel, but we want to help you secure a very firm foundation. And one of the important things about that is for you to know that God cares about you, sees you in this circumstance that maybe you are surprised by. It's not a surprise to God, but He sees that circumstance.
And I would just say embrace God and His plan because He cares for you and there is a way for you to make it. So we're going to talk about some biblical principles with finances and basically how to manage the present and grow the future. So in your present circumstance, we have a great verse that talks about God's opinion on us in our present circumstance, and that's Luke 12:6-7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
If He knows the hairs on your head, He knows the dollar amount of your debt. He knows the amount of the stuff you lost due to foreclosure. He knows the loss you feel in divorce or, for me, becoming a widow. The things that I felt, my word, can God really know that this matters to me? Well, obviously He does know and He cares very much.
And I think it helps us get perspective when we realize truly, it's all His. It's not really ours. We want to be faithful stewards. We want to be wise stewards. Here's a couple of verses about that. In 2 Chronicles 29:11-12, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Lord is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all.
God wants to give you strength. You're not feeling that right now, but God wants to give you strength, and He owns it all anyway. So let's just talk about the present situation you have now, and I want to just refer to an important resource for you. We've talked on our website, widowconnection.com, with a lot of detail about establishing a budget and dealing with that. So while we're going to touch on some things about managing your present today, go to widowconnection.com, starting over financially, and get a lot of detail about how to get that budget going.
Let's start with principle number one. I love Proverbs 24:27. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house.
Which may mean after a crisis, you might have to move. And some of you may be saying, I don't want to hear that. But we know that what is coming in has to be what you live on. You may think, well, I can't do that. But again, listen, we're going to walk through some things. But it may be that the expenses, the regular expenses of that home or that apartment might not fit in your new circumstances. That may be something that has to change because you need to know what's coming in and adjust your living to match that.
This verse is talking about put your outdoor work in order. That used to be work in the Old Testament. What we're saying now is you need to work within your income in order to choose where you live. So right now, if that's not working out, you have a couple sides of that equation, choosing what you do or adding what you do as far as work or changing where you live. So I would take a look at your housing. It's usually one of the biggest expenses, and you may really have to prayerfully, and I would say carefully, consider doing that. Not a good thing to rashly select, but need to select it in light of what is actually coming in at this point.
Exactly. And then the other issue is what to do about debt, because typically in a crisis, now this is not always true, but typically in a crisis, some things about finances might have gotten out of control, or you may have debt that you didn't realize you had. I know that happens sometimes with widows, or after a divorce, you may have debt. We want to encourage you to look carefully at that. And Valerie, you have mentioned that there are two different ways you can address debt, two different schools of thought. Could you talk to us about that?
When you start to go after debt, there are two schools of thought on that. So let's say you've got a bunch of credit cards, or you've got consumer debt, maybe some car loans. So school number one says, take the smallest debts, pay them off first. You kind of get that victory, you get that sense of accomplishment, then you go after the next largest debt and the next largest, and sometimes it's referred to as a debt snowball. So even though it might not be the highest interest rate, you're getting some traction. And another school of thought is go after the highest interest rate. So if you've got a bunch of credit cards and one has a huge amount of interest rate, you want to go after that one first. And that thinking is you want to stop paying that huge amount of interest. And I would say yes to all of the above. Go ahead and get started on paying back debt. If you want to go with the debt snowball, you get traction, you know you're doing a good job, you're on program, so to speak, and you want to switch over to paying off the greatest amount of interest first, you can do that too. Whatever works, but I would say go after the debt either way.
If you find that you're not able to put as much to that debt as you thought you wanted to or you feel you should, go back again and revisit the expenses, because frankly, you may say, oh, I've been having cable, I've got to cancel that. Or I know one family that when they went through a crisis, they had to go from all smartphones to dumb phones. So you right. may say, well, I don't want to make that sacrifice. But when you start realizing you've got debt that you want to pay down, you're motivated to make more adjustments.
And that's really when we start talking about needs versus wants. And this is really difficult. You may bring around you some trusted friends and advisors. Sometimes we need an outside voice, someone's opinion that is, again, trusted, accomplished as far as living within their means, in order to say, hey, this is what I think my needs and wants are. You might have someone you trust take a look at that and give an opinion, because sometimes what we think our needs really are in the wants category. If you're in a position where you need to go after a huge amount of debt, you really may have to whittle down on the needs versus wants and get by for a while on needs. But be energized. The Lord cares for you. He sees you in this process, and you can be victorious. And so there will be a reward for basically doing that. And it is difficult.
One of the things that I know that Valerie, you and Mark have encouraged people in your classes to do is to start putting some money aside for emergencies, because typically in a crisis, you may find you have no margin. Right. So one of the goals is so that you can start putting some money for addressing things in the future, because there may yet be unpredictable things ahead. Talk about how much is recommended for putting aside for what the next step might be.
So generally, it's recommended that maybe $1,000 to $2,000 would go in an emergency fund. It can be less if you make a very small income, but that would be step number one. And that's really to head off emergencies, because if you have nothing in the savings account and your car breaks down, I mean, these things happen, it means you have to go right back to the credit cards or some other means to borrow to fix that emergency. So we want something laid aside for emergencies, because they keep coming even when you're in these difficult situations. And then it's recommended that people have about 3 to 6 months of their income set aside, because they may lose their job. And so that would be kind of a reserve. So you've got income or emergency funds, and then reserve of basically salary or income of 3 to 6 months. That may seem like a huge mountain in front of somebody who has had this incredibly difficult circumstance and found themselves kind of in a sea of debt.
But a little step at a time. That's right. That's what we know you can do. Now, the next thing I want us to look at is we have started to address now the current situation. Let's look a little more to the future. Why do you want to manage your resources? What is the future going to be? And Scripture talks about that.
When you may say, I'm not necessarily in a mountain of debt. I'm not necessarily extremely flush with loads of money sitting around. I have a little bit of leeway. At that point, you may want to really think about, okay, look at your expenditures and do they line up with your values? So you may say, you know, the Lord is first in my life, or I'm really all about education for my children, or you may say you have certain values, and I would just say, take a look at your checkbook, take a look at your debit statement, credit statement, take a look at your calendar. Even though we're talking about money today, I would say if you look at somebody's checkbook and calendar, I think that tells a lot about where our values really are at. Check to see if your spending reflects what your value system is. If it doesn't, and you're not okay with that, this is the part where you can start to change that.
Exactly. And I love Luke 16:11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? So one of the things that God does is he looks at us and says, like you were saying, Valerie, what are we doing with the money we have? He wants to entrust us with what he has, and he owns it all. But he wants to see the person that is really following his values. He wants us to be able to be generous with other people. And in our time of need, it may be that people have had to be generous to help us along. We want to be in that place where we're not living just with what we can survive on, but where we can say to someone else in need, let me come along beside you and help you. You're out of your job. Your washing machine broke. Let us help you repair that or replace it.
In the Bible, it talks about basically becoming economically strong to help others. So Proverbs 3:27-28, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. So the Bible is talking here about having resources. It's very difficult to do that when you have nothing and need yourself. But if we can start to stand on your own 2 feet here and then help others, you're really making some traction there with your finances.
Let's look at what we can do with that, what we've been given. And I want to talk about a parable in Matthew 25, where the parable talks about a business owner. We'll call him a business owner. It doesn't say it exactly like that. But this individual gave resources to 3 different people. Gave, I'll call it a little bag of gold. We don't know that it was exactly that, but gave 5 bags to one person, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And then the owner went away and said, use that. And in that parable, when the owner came back, the one who had 5 bags of gold doubled it, had used that resource well. The one that had 2 bags of gold doubled it and had 4 bags of gold then. The one with only 1 hid it, did nothing with it, didn't invest it well. And you know what? The owner was not happy with that. So I say this because when we do begin to accumulate something, it's important for us to realize God's entrusted us with something that he wants us to use well and get that to grow.
So let's think about the different ways that we could invest. So maybe you're not in an emergency financial position, but you may be in a position where you've not done the finances before or managed them before. Someone else has. Maybe your spouse passed away and they were the one who did the finances, or you became divorced and again, it was your spouse who did the finances. So now you may have a surplus, but you may not know much about managing or investing that. We have a couple different things that are possible that you can do with your money when you're going to invest it.
Because sometimes people say, oh, is this where it's going to get confusing? I want to say, really, there's nothing confusing about it. It's simply we all have things to learn. And this opportunity in your life, and I know you want to say, no, it's a crisis. Well, it's also an opportunity to learn. And I know when I entered that phase, being single again, I had a lot to learn. And I can tell you, and you're probably going to say, I don't know if I want to hear what you're going to say next. It's kind of fun because these are concepts you can grasp, and we want to just kind of put it in a way you can think about it. Okay, most of us are very familiar with going in a grocery store or a big box store. And investing is simply going in a store, well, kind of, and there's different departments. Just like in the grocery, there's a deli department and a bakery department and a canned goods. In an investment store, let's look at it like one section is shoeboxes, one section is bank, one section is stocks, one section is bonds, and one is mutual funds. Just some different areas there. And by the way, this will all be on our website, widowconnection.com, under Starting Over. So it'll list those areas of the grocery store and some definitions.
So these are not the only types of investments, but they're some of the main types of investments that people use when they're starting out doing investing. What is an investment? Well, you're going to buy something. The difference between a purchase and an investment is when you make an investment, it's under the theory that it's going to go up in value. When we go out and purchase something like a sandwich, we're going to consume that and there will be no investment. I mean, the investment will be in not being hungry anymore. But when we invest, we're putting money in something that is going to grow in value, or at least that is the hope.
So you're saying my car isn't growing in value as I put more miles on it all the time and it starts to rust?
Not until it becomes an antique.
Okay. So you're saying that this investment is something to grow. And we talked about one area that we can go to in the store is a shoebox.
Right. That investment doesn't necessarily grow. So let's talk about that. And you're saying shoebox. I used to hear it said money under the mattress. But essentially, it's, you know, what this third steward, or lack thereof, did by burying this investment is saying, I'm just going to set it here. Well, there's a lot of problems with that. Fire, theft. But the other problem is that cost of living keeps increasing every year. So if your money is parked in a shoebox or under the mattress, it's losing cost of value every year. So as time goes by, it can purchase less. So I would say in investments, there's not a whole lot of chance of loss there except for cost of living, but it's not a great investment.
Valerie, I'm glad you pointed that out because sometimes I think shoeboxes are kind of fun, but you know what? Not for putting your money in, not for putting wealth in and thinking that's going to be a good solution. So let's go to the next possibility, and that's a bank. Now, I don't think a lot needs to be said about that because people are familiar with that, but basically the bank is where you can put your money, and it has services like writing checks, like maybe paying bills online. There might be a savings area in the bank, which frankly isn't going to bring you a whole lot right now, but it's safe in that there's a guarantee for the certain amount of money that you have there.
And that it will not lose value. The interest you're going to make at a bank is going to be pretty low. So if this is money you know you need it for expenses, you're going to need it very soon within the next couple months, that may be the best place to park that. But as far as an investment, it's probably not the greatest, again, unless you're going to need that money pretty soon.
Well, when you were saying that a family or an individual needs a few thousand dollars or actually hopefully 6 months worth of expenses available, the bank's a good place for that. It has a function. You know, it's one of the things that is an option for us, but there are more that have greater possibilities for growth. And the next one, and I have to say I kind of like this one, is the stock and equity one.
So if you own a stock, you own a piece of the company. That is what that investment is buying. So you buy a little chunk of that company in stocks and shares. And what you're hoping to do is that that company will be managed really well and you will kind of ride along the growth wave as the company is growing and increasing and being profitable. Your investment will go up in value. Your shares will go up in value. So owning a stock is owning part of a business, and there you're looking for growths or possibly dividends.
In the past, this was evidenced by having actually a certificate that showed you own part of the company. Well, we don't quite do that anymore. But Valerie, like you were saying, it's like owning something that is making money, and you as a shareholder that are part owner get a benefit from that. We'll talk a little more about that later in terms of some of the benefits of growth versus dividends. But let's look now at another area, and that's the bond area. The bond is a debt security where you're like loaning money to a company, and they're saying, we want that money for a certain amount of time, and in return for us having that money, we'll give you X amount as a payment to you for letting us use that money.
Now, someone might think, why would I want to buy somebody else's debt? Debt is bad, right? Well, in areas like bonds, a corporation or a government, an entity that is pretty solid and is a pretty good bet to pay back their debts with interest, people will buy that debt because they want to get the interest. So again, that's going to grow. Now, this is generally a bit more conservative than stocks and equities, but it really depends on the bonds and it depends on the stocks. So you'd want to definitely talk to somebody who deals with these things on a regular basis and has expertise and skills in this area to help select which ones those might be.
Okay, let's go in the store again and look at what we've talked about. We've talked about the shoebox, we've talked about the bank, we've talked about stocks, bonds. Now let's look at the mutual fund section. Okay, that's a group of stocks and bonds and cash, some of everything that we've talked about before, that are in a fund, and a lot of people have their money in that fund. It's a collection of all of these things. The good thing about it is mutual funds typically are diverse. But remember, there's someone that manages that and oversees it. They pick and you pay. So just remember that there's a cost to mutual funds. So that's an important piece of information for you to know if that's what you want to invest in.
There are also bond mutual funds, stock mutual funds, and then kind of mixes of mutual funds. There are a whole bunch of things out there, and I would say take some time on this one. Research a little bit of what's in there. You do not need to be a Wall Street expert, but you should have a pretty good understanding that this is a group of investors that have pooled their investments together, and they're buying shares of this mutual fund, and know what's in there and what the fees are that are charged. In any of these areas, you're going to want to know what the bank fees are. If you have a broker, which are the people who purchase and sell equities on your behalf, you want to know what they're charging. Same with bonds. So in any of these areas, you want to know what fees you're paying. That's an important part of knowing about investing.
Now, why are we taking time to do this, to talk about this in starting over financially? Because when we gave the example of a person that was given five talents, a few talents, one talent, remember the person that gave them that, and where the example is God giving us what we have, is that he wants us to be accountable. And if we don't know, how are we going to be accountable? So we want to help you become familiar with these terms. And as you talk with Ways to Invest, you know more of the terms, you understand more of how they work. And you can be that person who says, wow, I've been given this job and I'm beginning to accumulate a little bit. And I actually want to honor God. I want to be ready to start helping someone else. And this is a way that I can do that.
So currently, as you manage the present, these are some things to talk about. We would encourage you, do it God's way. You can look at widowconnection.com for some further resources under starting over financially. There are some good budgeting tools there, some good basic information about investing. Find wise, godly counsel about investing and listen to multiple counselors about that. And we would just say, go for it.
Remember, he cares about you, and remember that he wants to help you. So he's in it for your good.
Yeah. The Lord comes around us, helps us, and we'll see you through this. So we know you can do it.